Welcome to Open Door, everybody. Glad to have you all here. Will you all please stand as we open up with some Bless That Wonderful Name. We open up with a prayer this morning. Dear Lord God, I thank you and I praise you. I praise you for your son, Jesus, that we can shout his wonderful name, preach the word that he came to the earth and gave us. And, you know, his parables and all of his teachings, God, and the fact that he gave his life for us, God, and we can tell people about all that good news that he came to save us, God. And I praise you for that, Lord. And as we open up with worship this morning, I ask that your Holy Spirit be with us, upon us, that everything that we say and do this morning, God, brings glory and honor to your name, and that your Holy Spirit stirs within us, that when Larry preaches that word this morning, that it finds that fertile ground. And I thank you for it all in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for a moment. If you have your bulletins, you need to get them out and really read them, because there's a lot of information in there this week. First and foremost, youth group tonight at from 5 to 7. Also today is First Sunday Kids today at following the worship, after we get done with the worship here, grades K through 4. And then you need to look under Wednesday night there. There's a Women's Missionary Union meeting at 5:30. Prayer meeting is canceled. The reason prayer meeting is canceled is because we have a church members business meeting at 6:30. And then there's also a children's department BBS kickoff party at 6:30. I had somebody ask me today, says, when does VBS start? I said, tomorrow. And they went, so it's not till next Monday. I was messing with them and it worked. So I'm all happy that I got to mess with somebody today. All right. Sorry, Carol. So just, but VBS is next week. So because of that, there will be no Sunday school for the next two Sundays, June 14th and 21st, because anybody that ever comes to VBS, you understand this church will not look anything like it looks right now. You will not know it when come next week. So so there will be no Sunday school, so make note of that, all right? VBS dinner information, you need to read that if you are going to be here for the dinners Monday through Friday. It's $40 per adult, and children eat for free. Also, very important, very important, very important. Did I mention that this was going to be very important? Mission team meeting directly following service day. If you plan on going on the mission trip, we need you to meet Where, Matt? Where do you want to meet? Fellowship Hall? Please meet in the Fellowship Hall. And the sooner we all get there, the sooner we get out, okay? So if you're planning on going on a mission trip, please, please plan to attend there. Also, all able bodies, we need help. That is the rec team needs help on Saturday, June 13th at 8 o'clock a.m. to set up all the inflatables. And the more, the merrier. Amen, right, Matt? The more, the merrier. And if you can come out and help us with this, this will probably take a couple of hours or so. Yep. Oh, yeah, but I got good news for you. I don't know if you heard this or not. We don't have to move the conference table.
I heard it.
Yes. So, anyway, so, yeah, I didn't realize that. So we will also move some stuff around in the church here, okay? Also, help needed, and there's a sign-up sheet. There's a few people that have signed up above the water cooler to help out Redeeming Grace. That's a church plant that we sponsor in Elm Grove and Wheeling. We ask for all your help. It's running it there from 5 to 7, but they asked us to be there at 4. So if you could help, please, if you need a place to try to plug in the service, there's tons of places right here on this list right here. So try to plug in on that, that we need to show them our support. Now, for the important announcement, Wednesday night I told you that we might have a special guest here, and we do have a special guest. He's special in the fact that he's been here practically since he's been born, but he is straight off the Gerald Ford aircraft carrier from Iran, is our own Derek McMasters. So just so you know, he prefers if you shove him in the back instead of shaking his hand. I don't know. I walked up and hit him in the back. He says, "Why is everybody pushing me?" So, anyways, make sure you greet him. Welcome home. We are so glad that you're here. Much prayer has surrounded you, I can tell you that. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Here's Mike.
All right, thanks, Larry. All right, well, we all please stand. I have a quick question for everybody. It's going to take just a smidgen of participation. How many people have been driving Route 22 through Weirton and Steubenville lately? Put your hand up. If you have been driving through Weirton or Steubenville on 22 lately, this song is for you. Oh, I have days I lose the fight. I try my best, I just don't get it right. Where I talk the talk that I don't walk, and miss the moments right before my eyes. Somebody with a hurt that I could have helped, somebody with a hand that I could have held, when I just can't see past myself. Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like like me. Yeah, there's no denying that I have changed. I've been saved from who I used to be. But even at my best, I must confess, I still need help to see the way you see. Somebody with a hurt that I could have helped, somebody with a hand that I could have held, when I just can't see past myself. Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love and faith, a little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like. Yeah.
little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, and love and faith, a little more like
this week, when you're driving across 22, show a little mercy and let that guy merge. There
Thank you.
Father God, we come to you and we do profess that is who you are. You are the promise keeper, the miracle worker. Lord, you are the light in the darkness. You are the way maker. And Lord, we come today in that hope and in that faith, in that trust, in that love, and knowing that we are secure in you, that you are with us at all times. That Lord, even when we can't see you working, we know you're there. Your word tells us that. We're going to learn that today, actually. So Lord, we just thank you for all that you are and all that you do. Lord, there are people in this place who still need a miracle right now as we pray. And we pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that according to your will, you will meet the needs and desires of the heart of your people who are leaning on you right now, who are looking to you, who are praying to you out of a heart that is bent towards you. So, Lord, we just ask that you hear these prayers and, Lord, that you would answer. And, Lord, if it's something that an answer we don't expect, that we will hold on strong with our faith and allow you to work, because you are the miracle worker. And so, Lord, we just thank you, Father, for this time of worship. We thank you for this time that we have to come and to learn, to look at your word. Lord, so we pray that you speak to us. You speak to us, you speak in us, and that our lives will be changed because we have been here with you. So, Lord, we lift this worship to you. Pray that you were honored and glorified by it. Lord, now as we listen to your word, I ask your blessing upon me that I'd be able to preach it rightly and accurately, not for my glory, but for yours and for those who hear. Lord, we need you desperately. So, Lord, we come and just ask you to speak to us. And as we come to the giving of worship, in the time of worship, of the giving of our tithes and our offerings, Lord, we ask that you bless both the gift and the giver. They would all be used to furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. And Lord, be with me as I speak this word, that I may not stray. And if I'm going to say something that's not true or right, silence me, Lord. Stop me. That you and your truth would be heard by all. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody's asking me, where's Donna? Donna is very sick. Yes, so pray for her. And just fair warning, you probably don't want to get real close to me. Not like that, I mean, so I don't make you sick. I mean, we need to get close, you know, like relationally, but and all that, you know. But listen, just pray. There's a lot of people out traveling. Many of us are out traveling today, of everywhere from clear out west. Where is he at? Phil, Arizona or somewhere like that? Montana, and John and Paul Michigan, and
Steve and Leslie are in Toledo. And so, just pray for a lot of people out traveling today, and also pray for my voice starting now. All right, because I'm going to need that help from the Lord. All right, if you have your Bibles, open them up to John chapter 14.
If you are just joining us, we have been in a series entitled Knowing Jesus. And what we have done over the past few months is we have first looked at the seven I am statements of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what we've done in
this
that
is we have looked at what Jesus said about himself. What did he have to say about himself? Who Jesus himself said he was. And then we move past that now to the I will statements of Jesus Christ. And that is, now that we know who Jesus is, he now is going to tell us what he will do for us. The I will statements. And thus far, Jesus has said this: I will make you fishers of men. I will give you rest. I will cleanse you. Remember the leper. I will wash away your sins. And four, I will confess you before my Father, which that was truthfully a pretty heavy message right there. And now today, you're going to see how you are helped in all of this within the fifth I will statement, which is this: I will not leave you. I will not leave you. And what a promise that is. Amen. Now, there's a lot here, so I'll come back next Sunday and to try to wrap all this up with the Holy Spirit. But this morning, you're going to see how you are helped in all of this because of what Jesus is saying in the upper room, where he's going to be arrested later that night, crucified the next morning. So this is still part of what's known as the farewell discourse here, where he's talking to his disciples around the table in the upper room together at the, they're all there at the Last Supper at the last time around that table. Then they will leave there, and he will talk to them as they go and make their way over through the Garden of Gethsemane. And in doing that, Jesus has told them, I'm leaving you. In that walk across there, he says, I'm leaving you, and where I'm going, you can't go. And then, and so none of them, obviously, didn't understand it. They didn't understand and honestly, none of them liked it, and it confused them, right? There was just kind of a befuddlement around all the disciples, right? So I imagine they are thinking, now, wait a minute, Lord, teacher, I've given you the last 3 years of my life. I've walked away from my work, my profession. I've walked away from my home for the great extent of it, right? I've left everything and I followed you. I've spent the last 3 years with you now. And by the way, you need to understand something. Jesus did everything for his disciples. He did everything for them. Because if you think about it, he made provisions for them. He led them. He guided them. He answered all of their questions. He was giving them purpose. He was giving them meaning. He was the one who sent them out to preach and to heal. Remember that? And to cast out demons. He was teaching them principles of the kingdom. And when they didn't understand the principles of the kingdom and all of that he was teaching them about that, he would slow down and he would break it down and he would explain it to them even further. So Jesus did everything for them. And on this night, he's actually going to do another thing for them. He's going to protect them, where he will step between them and the guards that have come from the high priest to arrest him, right? He will step between the guards and his disciples. And he will say, you've got me, let these guys go. In other words, what he's saying, he say, these are not the ones that you're looking for. You're looking for me. I'm the one you want. Let them go. Excuse me. So they will run. They will scatter, the disciples. They will leave, and the guards will take Jesus off by himself. Now, leading up to this point, Jesus provides all these things for his followers. And so the concern was, how are we going to do all of this stuff now on our own? How are we going to do all this? How are we to do the things that you've taught us, Lord? How are we to do, and what are we to do? Where do we start? Where do we pick up all this stuff? You're telling us you're going away, and it's now on us. And why would you spend all this time with us and then go away and just leave us here without any direction? You're leaving us here all by ourselves without any guidance, without any leadership whatsoever. And that's what's going on right here. That's the setup. This is what's going on. So if you got your Bibles, look with me and listen to what Jesus says in verse 15, 16, and 17. This is John chapter 14, verses 15, 16, and 17. And read with me beginning in verse 15. If you love me,
I want that to sink in. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. That's the Holy Spirit, by the way. And also, I want you to notice the Holy Spirit is not an it. It's a person. The Holy Spirit is a he. Right? That he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be, say it, in you, right? And what he means by that is this. We see things taking place and we say, well, that's obviously a move of God. And that this is obviously a move of the Lord, right? But there are those who do not see his moving. They don't even know him. So they can't see his moving. In fact, they don't have a clue of who he even is. But you know him because he abides with you and he's going to abide or be in you. So he comes and he's going to explain to them that that although he is leaving, that this is going to be much better. But they're not getting it. They're kind of, like I said, they were befuddled because he's telling them, I got to go, but I'm going to send someone to you and they're going to be much better. Therefore, Jesus said, it's better for me to leave so that the helper, God's Holy Spirit, will come to you all and be in you all at the same time. Now, let me give you just a quick example of that, okay? When Jesus sends the 70 out, he can't go with all 70 of them at the same time. Jesus personally couldn't go out with them all at the same time. He could go with one of them, maybe two of them, if they went out together, right? If they go together, but he couldn't physically go with all 70 at the same time. So he says, it's going to be beneficial for you, for me to go away, because at that point, I'm going to come back and I'm going to inhabit you and I'm going to live in you through my Holy Spirit. And in doing that, I can be with you all at the same time. Now, I don't know if you got that or not, but that right there is a good word, because that is an absolute wonderful thing. That's how it's going to be better than having Jesus here in the flesh, is having him here in the spirit, right? And the disciples struggled with that. They couldn't get what it meant for he would be with all of them at the same time, no matter what. And so they struggled with this. And you know what? We struggle with it too. We do. We struggle with it. Why? Why do we think? I think it's because... Jesus is not here in the sense that I can see him and I can touch him and I can talk to him, right? Personally, face to face. And you say, well, I struggle with that as well. Well, because of that, sometimes I feel spiritually alone, or I wonder, is the Lord really even there? Does he even know that I even exist anymore? I just don't sense his presence anymore. Well, Jesus comes and he promises right here in this I will statement, when you come to me and follow me, he says, verse 18, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. That's a promise. Now, here's the issue in our lives that I want you to understand, and I'm going to come back to this, I think, at the end, but I want you to understand this. We oftentimes feel alone spiritually because we never nurtured the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I believe that that is because we really don't think about the Holy Spirit most of the time. Even as Baptists, I believe we are scared about the Holy Spirit. And you look at me and say, well, Pastor, why are you saying that? Because we truly don't understand him. We truly don't understand who the Holy Spirit is or what his function truly is in our lives. And so we're afraid things are going to get crazy and out of control if we give ourselves over to moving towards the Holy Spirit or towards experiencing the Holy Spirit. Because we've heard of things that take place in the name of the Holy Spirit, right? And we've seen services on television like that. And
and we had heard things about the Holy Spirit, and I don't want to be a part of anything like that. I don't want any of that. Well, I'm telling you, most of that is not biblical anyways. Just putting it out there. Now, be careful here, Larry. I know, I understand. I didn't say all of it. I said most of it is not biblical anyways. I said most, but let me just say, the Holy Spirit is not for sale. I'm just going to leave it. You cannot buy the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm just putting it out there. But let me tell you something. Something far more important than that. And this is the most important function of the Holy Spirit. If your life as a believer, you are a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, then you need to understand this truth. It's greater than any other truth that you've ever heard about the Holy Spirit. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you need to understand this. You have not been left alone. Good night. Silence. I'm not alone in my spiritual walk. In fact, I will never be alone in my spiritual walk. And we're going to get into that, okay? But we just feel that way. Sometimes we feel alone spiritually. We feel distracted, or we feel distant, right? Because we don't cultivate our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now watch, I'm going to get to this. I'm going to show it to you, right? We don't cultivate our relationship with the Holy Spirit. We don't nurture it. We don't pursue the Holy Spirit. We don't yearn for the Holy Spirit in our lives to move in our lives. And so Jesus is going to come here, and the one thing that he's going to say is this, is we need to pursue the assistance of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis in our lives. And look, now watch, look with me. So look with me. I want you to see the assurance of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life. Now, in this farewell discourse, I'm having problems with my throat, so. Now, in this farewell discourse, listen to what Jesus says in verse 15. Look in there. He says, if you love me. Now, notice this. Notice this is a conditional sentence. It's a conditional sentence. If you love me, keep my commandments. Conditional sentence meaning this. Meaning if the first part of this is true, it means that the second part of this is going to be true as well. It's conditional, right? If you love me, keep my commandments. So if the first part is true, the second part is going to be true. Now in that, I want you to understand that's the quality. Watch this. Get this. I want you to understand that that's the qualifier for having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your life. Right there. That's it. Right here. This verse is the qualifier for everything that he is going to say next. Everything after that is built on that phrase, on that text right there. If you love me, keep my commandments. And the whole thing is based on this premises. Do you love Jesus Christ? Do you love, this is what it's based on, do you love Jesus Christ? In fact, go down with me to verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Do you see that? I'm not saying that. The Lord Jesus Christ said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest. I will reveal myself, manifest, right? I will reveal myself to him. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we, notice that, we will come to him and make our home with him. Here, on the side of that text, I wrote this, relationship. Thank you, brother. I wrote on the bottom of that, I wrote relationship out there, okay? Now look down to the next chapter on there, right? Look what it says, chapter 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Now, let me just stop with that and let me just work you through that. If you keep my commandments, then, right? If you keep my commandments, then you will abide in my love. Another conditional sentence here as well. There's a condition on it. So what is the secret to abiding in the love of Jesus Christ? What is the secret? I've just given it to you about three times. What are you going to do? You're going to keep his commandments. And if you keep his commandments, then you will abide in his love, right? So the key to abiding in his love is what? Keeping his commandments, right? Now let me show you something. Just put your finger right there for a second and go to that little book of Jude, right? Listen to what Jude says, who was the half-brother of Jesus Christ, and listen to what he's saying, because he's telling us how we are to contend for the faith. He's going to tell us how to contend for the faith. That everything in verse 17 to the end of the chapter, Jude is telling us how we are able to put ourselves in the position for spiritual warfare and to contend for our faith. Look at Jude 1:17. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he's saying, remember the words, know the words, right? You, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he comes and he gives us three principles in verse 20 there. Watch. But you, beloved, one, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. And what are we building that up on? The commandments, right? Right? So, right? Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Two, praying in the Holy Spirit. And here's number three, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So, in other words, waiting anxiously, not nervously. I'm waiting anxiously, but not nervously. I'm waiting with anticipation. I'm living and waiting with anticipation for the coming of Jesus Christ. Who's ready? Amen? Yeah, me too. I'm in anticipation of that. Now, did you notice what he said there? He comes back. He comes back and he reiterates what Jesus is saying. Look at verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, you notice something here? Do you notice anything in that there? That's my responsibility. Remember, conditional. That's my responsibility. You know what? As a follower of Jesus Christ, that's your responsibility, that we keep ourselves in the love of God. And we do that by being obedient to his word, by being obedient to his commandments. Why? 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 Because it gives us the assurance, right? He's going to come and abide in us. It's going to give us the assurance that the Holy Spirit of God is alive and well within us. We can sense it. We can feel it, right? Amen. Now watch, let me show you a second thing. I want you to see the presence of the presence that we are promised here. Look at this. We're promised his presence. He's going to promise us his presence here. So here's the assurance of the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes and he promises us this assurance, this promise that he gives to us, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now watch it. Watch what he says. And I'm going to go back to verse 16. I really won't get beyond that this morning. He comes and look what he says. John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you. Look what it says. Another helper, that he, meaning the Holy Spirit, may abide with you until I mess up, until I backslide. Is that what that says? What's it say? Forever. It's not, watch, I'm going to get this, this is very important. He says he may abide with you forever. Now, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come and then the Holy Spirit would leave. There were saints, there were God's people in the Old Testament that would read that the Spirit came on them and then we would read about the Spirit that came on them and then the Spirit left, that the Spirit fell on them for a time or for a specific event, that the Holy Spirit would come, then the Spirit moved from them, right? That was in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit was never permanent. His presence was not continuous all the time, like he is now in the New Testament. Look, to where Jesus is saying now that after his resurrection, the Holy Spirit will come and he will stay forever. Oh, now what? Amen. Right, because you have to get what that means. That staying forever is in you. It's in me. Forever. Permanently. Right? It's permanently. He doesn't come and leave. He will stay forever. And when he does leave, you say, wait a minute. You just said, no, wait a minute. And when the Holy Spirit leaves, and I'll just save you from having to look all this stuff up. So say, thank you, Pastor Larry. Yeah, say that after this half hour discourse I'm going to give you. Look, if you would go over to 1 and 2 Thessalonians, where the Holy Spirit is going to be taken out when the church is taken out at the rapture of the church. Now, don't make me preach that whole sermon to you, so just act like you understand what I'm talking about, right? And listen, if you've been in Steve Schaefer's class, you should absolutely, positively know what I'm talking about right now. All right? That when the church will be raptured out of this world, the Holy Spirit will be raptured out as well. And you're looking at me and say, how? Well, why? Because we, the church, won't be here any longer. And if who's the church? Who is the church? Who is it? We are the church. Where does the Holy Spirit abide at? In you, right? We're not going to be here any longer. And the Holy Spirit lives in each of us, right? Lives in each of us who are saved. And so when we leave, he leaves. And then the man of lawlessness will show up. And we know him as the Antichrist, right? Will then be on the scene from that point on, and there will begin the 7 years of tribulation. 7 years of just absolutely horrific events, absolutely horrific suffering, just horrific times like never ever seen before, like this world has never experienced before, because the restrainer, as Paul calls him in 2 Thessalonians, the restrainer is gone. He's pulled away with us at the rapture. So who's the restrainer? The restrainer is the Holy Spirit. Well, that's just another job of the Holy Spirit. That's just another job of the Holy Spirit. He has many of them. So Jesus comes now and he says here that he's going to be with you personally, spiritually, forever, right? Now, let me just show you something and help you look at something here. John 14:16. When he comes and he says, and I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. You just can't pass over that. You got to get into that. I will give you, excuse me, another helper. Another. Another in the Greek means another of the exact same kind. That's what that means. I'm going to give you another of the exact same kind. Exactly the same. No difference. So when Jesus comes here, he is saying to these disciples, he says, I'm going away, but I'm going to ask the Father, and he will give you another of the exact same kind. So now here are these disciples, right? Now they're already befuddled, right? So now here are these disciples, and you can just imagine what they're feeling and what they're thinking right now. They're thinking, wait a minute. You're going away. Just hold on here. We're not sure about all this. But you're leaving us, which we don't like that, and you say another is coming just like you. The disciples got to be looking and saying, what the what? What are you saying here? What does it mean that you're sending someone else and it's going to be another of the exact same kind? Now watch this. This is important. Let me just kind of show you what all of this is going to be here. Because the one who is coming that is exactly like me, the interesting thing is this about him. The one who's coming is going to be just like me. Now watch them. They're like, what the what? What? But there's one that's going to come here. He's just like me, and he's going to be in you. You're talking about not understanding some things in Scripture? Could you imagine what they were thinking? He's going to be in you. Now, do you see that down there in verse 20? Look, don't take my word for it. Please don't. And that day you will know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you. Well, let me back up to verse 18. Look what he says. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So, he, the Holy Spirit, he's going to come and he's going to be in you. He's going to live in you. He's going to abide in you. Jesus says this. He says, Jesus talking, you know, he says, me, my person is leaving you, right? That's what he's telling them. But this Holy Spirit that is exactly me of another kind will be there. Look in verse 17. He dwells with you and will be in you. So the Holy Spirit is in you. Say that. If you're a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit is in me. The Holy Spirit is in me. And in verse 20, Jesus says, I will be in you. Now watch this. Go to verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Now let me just kind of give you what he's saying here. Jesus is saying the Father is going to send another of the exact same kind as me that's going to be me. In fact, my Holy Spirit is going to be in you, and I'm going to be in you, and the Father is going to be in you. So what is this? What's he talking about? What's he talking about here? Anybody want to take a stab at what he's talking about? The Trinity. He's talking about the Trinity who lives in you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who is three in one, right? According to Jesus, right? Not according to me, according to Jesus. That if you're willing personally to take his word and abide by it, that's what he says, right? That's what he says right there. And abide by it. That Jesus says, you keep my commandments, you be obedient to my word. He says, we are going to be there. And if you notice that, when I stopped, when I read that one scripture, I stopped, I said, we. Remember, I said, no, we. That's what he's saying. He said, we're going to be there. We're going to be living in you. We're going to take our abode up in you, our presence up in you, and we will dwell in you. And that's the Trinity. So when you think this, when you think, like these disciples probably did, when you think, I can't wrap my brain around that, can anybody wrap their brain around that? You can't wrap your brain around it. Why? Because he wouldn't be God if he could. If you could wrap your brain, nobody can wrap their brain all the way around God. I don't care who you are. You can't do that. Understand, we have a finite brain, and God is an infinite God. He has no beginning and no end. Wrap your brain around that. And you think you're going to be able to explain him? Let me tell you something about the Trinity. The best of the best theologians can't explain him. He is three separate persons, yet one. He is one. But you say he's three, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Yes, yes, he is. And you say, well, that just doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand it. And I don't know how in the world you get that, because the word Trinity isn't even in the Bible. Well, listen, and let me tell you something. It's a word that we use to express the concept of three and one because we don't know any other way to explain it. Now, let me tell you, a lot of people have a lot of ways they try to explain the Holy Spirit, and none of them work. Try to give an analogy to explain God. Try it. Now listen, But we still do it. Why? Because we want to try to help people understand, right? We want them to understand the concept of it, but they never truly explain the true nature of the Trinity. Like I use one all the time to try to explain the nature of the Trinity. I'll give you an example. Like water, it's liquid, and it's also solid, it's ice, and it's also gas, it's a vapor, right? They are all the exact same, H2O, right? You can understand that, right? Right? And that's true. But, there it is. But it's not all three of these things at one time. There are all three of these things at one time at the same time. But we try to explain it so that we can understand it the best that we can. So we say, well, it's kind of like this or it's kind of like that. But let me let you in on something. There are some things that we have to accept by faith, and this is one of those things. And you say, well, now, you want me to believe it and just accept it just like that? Well, listen, we accept things like that all the time. I want you to think about an airplane. Bernoulli and Newton had a theory of downdraft of air and a lift, but to this day, it's a theory, and we can't explain certain things about it. We don't exactly know how the air and the wings and operate in this theory, but we get on planes and we fly them all over the world every day by the millions, but yet we can't explain it. So don't tell me we don't do that every day. Listen to me. I can't explain the Holy Spirit, but I believe in Him by faith because Jesus said it's true in His Word, and that's enough for me. And because I've trusted Him by faith, and that is this, then I also trusted that His Word is infallible. It's truth. It's infallible. Therefore, I serve a triune God. Now, watch this. I serve a triune God that He is three in one, and I like that. You say, Pastor, you're goofy. No, I'm not. I really like that. And now watch, I'm not going to stop and go through all this, but I like it because He is Trinity, which speaks of relationship. In fact, all of this is a reference to relationship. Remember I told you that at the end of that verse? I wrote relationship. All of this is a reference to relationship. Listen, when you get over to Islam, you have Allah, who is a monotheistic, which is meaning one God. He's one God, mono, meaning one. Monotheistic, not a trinity. And they rail against, in Islam, they rail against Jesus Christ and against the Holy Spirit and against God because we call Him Trinity. Well, let me let you in on something on Islam. You never find Allah in relationship with anyone, ever, no one. They're not in relationship. But you and I have a God who loves us and is in relationship with us, and He abides in us, and that's what He's telling these disciples. That's what He's teaching these disciples. He's saying, look, you're not alone. You're not alone. Things are going to change, but you're not going to be alone. That Trinity, that three that is in one, is so that you can see we have a God that can relate to us and wants to relate to us. Amen. He wants to relate to you. He wants to be in relationship with you, right? We know that we have the assurance that this God, this Holy Spirit, this Jesus will never leave us, never, ever, ever, never, ever, period. His presence will always be with us and in us. That when I get in my truck and leave here today, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is going with me. And if you are a born-again believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, He's going with you as well. With you, with you, with you, with you, 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 He's going with you as well. When we all go out of here at the same time, right? We all going to go out and at the end of the service, and you're going to say, I'm going here, I'm going here, I'm going home, I'm going to eat, I'm going to go visit my aunt, I'm going to go visit my mom, I'm going to go visit this. We're all going out here. We're all going in different direction at the same time that the Holy Spirit is going with us all at the same time. Wrap your head around it. That's wild. I don't know. That's just me. I look at it. I think, man, that is wild. Well, there you go. Let me give you the next thing. And the next thing I want you to see is this. The comprehensiveness of this help that we have. I want you to see the comprehensiveness of the help we have. Notice what he says in verse 16. Notice there. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another. What does another mean? Just like me, just as, right? Just like me, I will give you another helper, right? Now, that's the way the new King James version translates that as helper. If you have a Holman version, it translates it as counselor. You have the King James version, it says comforter. If you have the NIV, it translates it as advocate. So helper, comforter, advocate, counselor, right? Now, let me give you the word. The word there is parakletos. Parakletos. And the word is a compound word. Para, it's like our word parallel. Something is parallel to us, right? Alongside of us, right? Alongside of a parallel to us. And kletos is to call, so he is the one you can call on. Jesus is saying this. He is saying he is going to send the parakletos, the one you call on. He's going to send the one you call on, or better and more accurately, the one who is called alongside. So he is called alongside of you, that he comes alongside of you to do a lot of different things in you and for you. And you may be sitting there and you may be looking at me and say, asking this, he comes alongside to do what? He comes alongside, looks, this is great stuff. He comes alongside of you, parallel to you, to intercede for you. What does that mean? What does it mean he intercedes? I mean that the Holy Spirit is praying for you. He's making requests to God on your behalf. He's our advocate with the Father. He's our counselor. He's our comforter. You know what else he is? Oh, this is good stuff too. He's our encourager. As I, you know, the word can be translated as encourager as well. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, he's the one who comes alongside and encourages us. He's the one that we call on when I need more wisdom. He's the one that I call on when I need truth. Who needs some of that? Do you think our world needs truth today? Oh. Well, I can't remember the movie. I can't remember it was a war movie. But they was on the stand. He says, you can't stand the truth, or whatever. I forget that movie. So every time I think of that, I see that. Well, obviously, you all know what I'm talking about. Right? Hey, at least I knew it was a movie, right? All right. So, he's the one I call when I need truth. Do you see what it says right there? And this is what we're going to pick up next week, verse 17, that is the Spirit of truth. And Lord, we need it. And you know, truth does make a difference, you know. Right? Truth does make a difference. So we'll look at that next, when I need truth. He's the one that I call on. When I need more power, when I need more insight, when I need leadership, when I need guidance, when I need direction, he's the one that I call on. He's the one who comes alongside and gives that to me. That's who the helper is. That's who the helper is that is sent by Jesus to you. And he comes at the direction of God. He comes to bring all these things to help us. Now, here's the problem on our part. Oftentimes the problem is we never have truly cultivated, I use the word cultivated, it's garden season. How many people have cultivated their garden? I know you have. Raise your hand. You're cultivating something so that it will what? Grow. It'll produce something, right? You're tilling the soil, right? We have never cultivated that relationship. We have never nurtured that relationship. We have never really pursued the relationship, our relationship with the Holy Spirit, or even with Jesus sometimes. We just simply put it out of our minds, especially if we don't understand it. We kind of shrug it off, and we just don't think about it, and we begin to take him for granted. But that, listen, here's the promise and here's the good news in this. Even though we do that, that doesn't mean that he's not there. Oh, that doesn't mean that he's not there. Because as I've shared with you, he comes. Listen, when you were saved, listen to how I say this. I want to be careful. I'm not talking about water baptism here. He comes when you were saved. He comes at the moment of your salvation. At the moment of your salvation, you were baptized in the Holy Spirit at salvation. And now he's in there. He's in you forever according to the Word of God. Not according to Larry Garrison. According to the Word of God, at the moment of your salvation, he's in there forever. Anybody tell me how long forever is? I mean, okay, so he comes and he intercedes and he prays for you, and the Holy Spirit seals you, right? This is scriptural. I'm not making this up on my own. That the Holy Spirit seals you to the day of redemption. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit unto salvation. So listen, just because you don't think about him doesn't mean that he's not there. And because you don't take him, and because you don't take him into account, because you don't call on him and you don't pray to him, doesn't mean that he's not there. And you say, well, is it proper to pray for the Holy Spirit's guidance? Absolutely it is. Listen to me. I can't tell you how many times I have gone to the Lord personally and asked for his guidance and asked for his wisdom and say, listen, Holy Spirit, if you don't make this clear to me, I'm never going to get it. And I've got to preach this to your people, and I need some understanding on what is being said here. Listen, I can't tell you how many times I've done that. Over and over. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten up and the answer has always come. And sometimes it comes instantaneously, right? Sometimes it comes instantaneously. And other times it comes over a matter of hours and days of study and prayer. But I want to tell you, yes, definitely pray for guidance and understanding and wisdom. Pray for it. Ask for it. Seek it from the Lord. But so too often the truth is, we don't cultivate that. We don't nurture that. We don't pursue that. Therefore, we run after everything else. I've got an issue that comes up in my life. And what do? I just run right on over to the counselor over here. Now, wait, before you throw anything at me, I absolutely love counselors. Counselors are great. I recommend Christian counselors to people all the time. But let me tell you something. No counselor is the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that they don't have it in him or in them, but they're not the Holy Spirit. Or here, let me pick on this guy. The first thing when something comes up, oftentimes people think, I got to go call the preacher. Now listen, preachers are good for the most part. They're helpful for the most part. And they'll help you walk through certain things if they can, but let me let you in on something else here too. No preacher is the Holy Spirit. Well, we'll go off to this thing or that thing, and we'll run here and we'll run there, and or ultimately we'll, here, ultimately here's what happens, we'll rely on ourselves. More often that's what happens, we rely on ourselves. We try to fix it. That's kind of like when I work with Matt and I mess something up. And I look at Matt and I'll say, I'll fix it. And he'll just bump me off the side. He says, no, let me take care of it. Why? Because we end up making it worse. You get what I'm saying there? Now, let me tell you, the worst thing you can do is to rely on self. Because God's word tells us this. Watch, not me. God's word tells us this. Lean not on your own understanding. Why? because Solomon understood it, right? You're going to fail yourself. That's why. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, right? And he'll direct your path. He'll give you guidance. He'll give you leadership, right? He'll give you the things that you're looking for in his will. Listen, the answer is within us. Watch this. The answer is within us, but the answer in us is not us. You got what I said there? The answer comes through the Holy Spirit. Well, what am I, and you're sitting here and you're thinking, well, what am I supposed to do, Pastor? What direction do I need to go in? Well, listen, the Holy Spirit is there. And the reason we don't hear him is because we're not nurturing that. We're not pursuing him. We're not cultivating our lives to know him. Now, I want to use some humanly examples to relay a spiritual likeness. Because I can't tell you over 35 to 40 years of ministry how many couples I've had come and sit down in my office, and they'll sit down in front of me and they'll look at me and they'll say, "We just aren't in love anymore. We just, you know, we just don't feel the same anymore." You know what? A lot of people feel that way spiritually as well. They will say, I don't know what I ever felt. I'm just not sure anymore. And on and on and on. But the bottom line, it comes down to this. But things aren't good anymore. They're not the same as they once were. Also, this applies spiritually. Because we're talking about what? Relationship. And of course, they're wanting me, what are these people wanting me to tell them? They're wanting me to give them the blessing to do what? Get a divorce. Well, let me save you all some time. Number one, I'm not ever going to do that. I never have, and I never will. I'm going to tell you to work it out, and you're going to do that by both of you pursuing God. Your relationship with Jesus Christ, right? Number two is this. Why does it surprise you that you're in this situation? Personally or spiritually? Why does it surprise you that you're in this situation? Now, this is not going to feel good. I'm just going to tell you. When for the last 15 years you've poured all your energy, all of your effort, all of your passion into someone else or something else, sometimes your children, sometimes your job, sometimes your finances, it could be a plethora of things, if you've not figured out, I've not poured one bit of my investment, I've not nurtured, I've not poured anything into my relationship, no energy, no passion, or anything else into my relationship with the one I made a vow to honor and cherish and to love till death do us part. So don't be surprised what is happening to you. Apply this as well spiritually. If I'm not seeking after the things of God, then why am I, don't wonder why you're not experiencing the things of God. Listen to me loud and clear. On a personal and spiritual level, it's not what, let me start over. It's what you pour yourself into. It's what you cultivate that will grow stronger and produce a strong relationship, an unbreakable bond. It's what you pour yourself into. It's what you cultivate that will grow stronger and produce a strong relationship and unbreakable bond. I don't need anyone to amen that. You wonder why I don't need anyone to amen that? Because I know it's right. I know it's right. I'm telling you this. You can recapture your relationship with God or with your spouse or with anybody else. You can recapture these feelings you once had, but listen loud and clear again. Listen to me. Love is an action word. It is an action word. This means you've got to nurture your relationship. Remember the conditional sentences back there? You've got to nurture your relationship. You've got to build into that relationship. You've got to pour some of yourself into that relationship. You've got to cultivate that. Do you know what my wife gave me this past week? Nobody in this room will ever guess what my wife gave me this last week. One person in this, three people in this room will understand it. You know what my wife gave me this past week? My wife bought me salmon jerky. I told you, three people right there. That's because they're from Washington. My wife bought me salmon jerky that I love. She had to go online to find it. It's expensive. And here's the thing about salmon jerky. My wife hates it. She hates when I eat it. She hates when I open it in the house because she thinks it stinks. And she thinks I stink when I eat it. And I got to go take a shower, brush my teeth, the whole nine yards. But she bought that for me. She went out and she looked for it and she bought it. She found it in multiple flavors. And she hates them all, right? She bought them in multiple flavors. But she got that for me. Why did she do that? Because she loves me. Right? She wanted to pour herself into me. She wanted to show her expression of love to me. She did something that she knew that I would like, something that she knew that I would be happy about, right? She poured herself into me. Likewise, folks, you need to keep nurturing that and pouring into that and cultivating your relationship spiritually and earthly. It pays dividends, right? And that's the same way we are in the church. Our relationship to the church, we need to pour into the church. It should be the same way with our relationship with Christ. We need the first and foremost above any other relationship. Pour ourselves into that relationship. Express our love to Him. Why? Because if we love Him, He's going to rise up. And He's going to bless us, right? But the truth most often is we don't pour ourselves into to the Lord. Let me be honest. We don't pour ourselves into the things of Christ in our relationship as we should, as much as we should. And I'm starting with me, not you. I'm starting with me. We all can do better. Yes, we'll come to church as if, well, let's go to church. That's what we do, right? It's be kind to God hour this week, you know. We'll come and we'll do something here. We'll go, so we'll work in this. We'll work in that. We'll serve here. We'll serve there. We'll do this. We'll do that. Let me tell you something. I served my wife this last couple weeks. I helped her clean out this storage room that we have down in our basement. Now, a couple of you, yes, I see a smile. A couple of you know what that storage room looks like. It was bad. And here's the thing. I did not love one single minute of it. One minute, I didn't like it. Not one single minute of it was I even happy about it. But I poured myself into it. Why? Why did I do it? Because it was important to my wife. And in doing that, it keeps our relationship where it should be. I got salmon jerky. Seriously, listen though. When it came to that, I didn't want it. I didn't like it. I wasn't looking forward to it. But I'm going to tell you what I was every single minute that we were doing it. I was engaged in it. I was engaged in it because it was important to her. And me being engaged, not being bothered, not having an attitude,
Let her know how much she mattered to me and that I love her. The same thing with Christ. And you say, well, how do I do that? How do I do these things that God's called me to do? Well, I'm going to give you one word. I'm going to come back to this next week, but I'm going to give you one word. And the word is this. It's the worst. It's the next best thing than money. What's the next best thing than money? Is what? Time. The word is time. Listen, you can't come in here for an hour, hour and a half, once a week, and think you've nurtured the Holy Spirit in your life. Or you've spent all the time with Jesus, or you spent all this time with Jesus this week that you need to. And listen, I want to be careful here, but I want to be truthful. If you're coming to church and you're sitting here scrolling through your phone, looking at Facebook, Google, maybe you're wandering around the halls during service, then no wonder you don't know what to do in situations of life. You want to know why? Oh, you're here, but you're not engaged. You're going through the motion, but it's not genuine. Listen, you've got to build that relationship. It has to be intentional. You've got to build that relationship. You've got to engage yourself to the things of God and never let up. Never stop. Like the song, never stop. Listen, we don't feel His power and presence in our lives. And when that happens, according to the Word of God, that's on me. That's on me. When that's happening, that's on me. Goes back to the conditional sentences. But here's the promise. Jesus said this, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. That's a promise. That means this, that His divine commitment to us ensures that no matter where you are, you will never be left alone or orphaned. His presence is absolute and guaranteed. But we need to be committed to His ways, to His commandments. He is the power source. He is the power source that engages the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Do you understand that? Do you understand you have within you, inside of you, a God who will never leave you, and I got to end this. He never runs out of resources. He never runs out of resources. No matter what the need is, no matter how big, no matter how small, He never runs out of the resources that you need to face anything in life. Why? Because He promised, I'll never leave you. Father God, thank you for that promise. Thank you for that promise, Lord. Thank you that we have the assurance to know that you're there. And Lord, if we're not experiencing you, we need to cultivate that. We need to push into you and learn of you and of your ways. We need to abide in your word. And Lord, that the Holy Spirit will begin to move in us. And in us, Lord, we will be able to feel you, experience you, to know you, to be in relationship with you even deeper and stronger than we are now. Lord, we all need to seek you and search for you in every area of our life, every area of our relationships, everything that we do. But Lord, we thank you that for this promise that we will never be orphaned. And Lord, that we always remember the conditional sentence. We got to do our part, and then you'll do your part. So Lord, help us. Help us to fall deeper in love with you, to seek you more and more, to know you more and more. Lord, rise up in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Will you all please stand?
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I'd fall apart. Guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my rock.
Pray for all those who are traveling. And don't forget, mission team, you're going on a mission trip, like to go on a mission trip, please be downstairs directly after this service, please. But here's one last great word for you. When you leave here today, you're not leaving. Amen. You just made the pastor smile. You're not leaving alone. And not only that, he is your one defense. He is our righteousness. Go in the name of the Lord and know that you're never alone. Call upon him in your time of need. Amen? Thank you, and God bless you, and thank you for coming.
Lord, I need